tonight, as you look at your handouts with the scripture on, and I wanted us to talk about how to conquer through God's Word. Now, as Christians, we know the power of God's Word, right? We read about the power of God's Word. But also, as a Christian, so often we forget or we're not thinking about just how truly powerful His Word is. His Word is so powerful, folks, to battle for our life, for the problems in our own individual life. The Lord said, you need to be quiet, Larry, and listen to my words. Let me tell you through my word how you need to preach, to teach, to walk through life in different situations. So often we will back away from the Word of God because we're afraid God's in His Word is going to show us a different direction than we're taking, and that means we're going to have to think, and that means we're going to have to change something about our own life and how we think. Once you get something in your mind, once you've got, okay, I've got this figured out. Well, Christians, let me tell you, you don't figure out God. And for those people out here in the world that say, I've got God figured out, wrong God. God is God. And He says, I love you. I sent my Son. My Son Himself is the Word. So everything that I'm giving you is my word, and it's my word for your life. God wants us to be prosperous. He wants us to live and enjoy. Being prosperous, though, folks, from one individual and is one thing, and to another individual is another. How many people have you met that are so disease-stricken or watch so much? Gosh, Linda, I dare try to count how many of you from John to your son to all, how many have died within your family. I think of that every time somebody comes to, well, I've lost two in my family. Well, yeah, well, I got a woman in our church that I lost count. And yet understanding that God is not the one who caused that. It is not God who does evil. It is not God who leads astray. So the Lord tells us, get in my word. Well, when we're getting in His word, remember that Jesus is His word. Jesus is His word. How to conquer through God's word, John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Never has changed. You know, also at the end, during the battles, the battle is fought by the sword of Christ, meaning the words of Christ coming from His mouth. None of us are going to be packing swords or doing in that, or packing your ARs and your other things that some of my folk pack. They're not going to be, we're not going to have to do that. The battles are won through the Word of God, who happens to show us that you want to conquer life? Read my Word. Listen to my Word. Teach my Word. Show your children there's hope, but the hope happens to be through my Word. Now, first of all, ask God to teach you His Word. Now, I can teach a class. And many in here can teach a class because you taught kids or you've done, you know, your children and all. But here's the key. It focuses on when we teach, we cannot express the total power of the Word of God. God has to do that in their heart. You and I can say, okay, Psalm 119, verse 11 and 12. And here's what we would do. Your word I have hidden in my heart, that I might not sin against you. Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. As Christians, you and I know that I'm really going to learn by the power of the Holy Spirit. I can read the word, I can teach the word, but if an individual has not given their life to Christ, or seeking to give their life to Christ, then I can do nothing more than attempt to convince, which I refuse to do, because it is when an individual comes under conviction, when all the world breaks down on us, and I mean our own little world, our families and all, and we see the breakdown, we don't have an answer. We cannot understand it. We go to the Lord in prayer and say, Father, I'm broken over this. But why did this happen? Why did you let this happen to me? I served you, Lord. I want to do right by my family. I want to do right in your calling. So why? And we're loaded with those questions. The reason we still have the questions, we quit reading. We quit reading God's word because we're mad at him. Do you ever hear people talk about how angry they are at God? Where was God when this, or where was God when that? Okay. Blessed are you, O Lord, teach me your statutes. Okay, I know then from God's word, there's the power of the teaching comes from his holy word. When we discover God's promises through his words, then we find those promises which relate to our life. You got it? So we're reading and studying. Do you know that every one of us here could read that one verse or that one scripture, and every one of us tell a different story about what is done within our life or what it means to our life? And God does that intentionally, or that's the power of the word of God. Number two, look at the power and importance of knowing God's word. Do you remember when we're led before the judges and all because of our faith? Okay, we're going to take you before the judge. We told you not to preach in this name of Jesus. The first century Christians knew well, and we're watching it today play out. Do you realize the same word at the beginning of Jesus' ministry, the same word of God in the way we find in Genesis all the way through is going to be the exact same words that you and I are studying today? We can't stand before God with excuse because I gave you the word, he'll say. And good gracious, look how many different translations we have. But I do need to remember something. When God allows the multitudes of translations, and now that's part of my class when I teach on Sunday morning, you need to know something, folks, and remember this. And I know I said over and over again, preacher, quit saying it. I'm not going to do it. As a matter of fact, I like the preacher that they preached the same Sunday sermon for 2 months every Sunday morning. Finally, they ask him, preacher, when are you going to change sermons? That's the exact same sermon you've preached for all of these Sundays in a row. Well, as soon as you start living up to one of them, I'll stop and get a new one. But God says, here's my word, take it, but remember, you have a responsibility yourself. So when people, you know, jump, well, why are we having all these translations? Folks, I wish we had more. I wish there would be a translation that could touch every life. And each of us are drawn to different types of teaching, right? Personalities. We are drawn to understand from this version, and again, remember, for every single word in the Greek and even through the Hebrew or the Aramaic that is translated into English, that translation, that one word, could take on 15 to 16 different words in the English language. Now, why do I keep bringing that up? It's important for us to understand the words that we grew up hearing don't mean the same anymore, which I cannot, you know, rightfully say, you know, I'm so gay and excited because of what Christ has done to me. In this generation, they look at you and say, and you're a Baptist preacher? Well, Baptist preachers do worse than that. But think of it this way. What we grew up with in the meaning, well, even now, you all been around kids and listened to them talk? You can, not only can you not understand them, why can't kids write cursive? What in the world is going on? How are those kids one day going to read cursive writing and letters when the schools refuse to teach it any longer? They don't need it. Well, I went through McDonald's, you know, because I was told to get the health food for Mom. So go through McDonald's. It was this morning. I had a horrible time giving them. It was $5.17, and I said, here, $10.25 I gave them. I mean, she called the manager back there and said, you've given me too much. You know, I'm looking at her, and then I said, hon, all you got to do is just give the change. Well, I can't because the machine's not working, the change machine. And I said, and that's when the manager comes back. And they're standing in there, and I knew everybody behind me is getting ready to start blowing the horn. I'm wanting to give them at least a $5.25 tip just to let me go through that line. But the dumbing of America, and I'm not saying that in a bad way. Well, I'm meaning it as bad for the kids. But what if the electricity goes out and all of the ad machines, nothing else working? Look at the power and the importance of knowing God's Word before I really chase these rabbits. Hebrews 4:12, for the Word of God is living and active. Do you know that the Word of God will continue when God calls stop to what we know right now and see right now? Again, I've got hooked on these history channels, and even what I can download now to see how far in space was it Hubble? I'm talking about the thing is sending pictures back. And they've ran into different galaxies upon galaxies. Then they said the billions of galaxies that are out there. And see, to me, I love listening to them. They say, we didn't even know that exists. Well, read the Bible. The Lord said there's no end to what he has created. It's everlasting. Okay. The Word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit. The soul here is used as the physical part of your soul, the human being, and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. We call it getting under conviction. When reading it, I mean, here you are, we're a Christian, you know, we're serving the Lord, and the more we read the Word, the more it convicts us of what the human nature is all about. The human nature is about doing anything other than what God is calling us to do. So our battles are always fought from within, and the only way we can win is through God's Word. Fighting that battle for us. But we can't use God's Word if we don't read God's Word. And you let the world creep up on you. The Word of God is life. Luke 4:4. But Jesus answered him saying, this is through his temptation with Satan, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. If you really think about that one without a pun about the bread and realize something, that I cannot live on bread alone, but I can live on the Word of God, because it's the Word of God that teaches us how to make the bread or how to survive. It is the Word of God that we read when the Lord says, what are you worried about? The birds of the sky don't even have a home. Nobody's feeding them, but our Heavenly Father takes care of them and attends every funeral of every bird. The Word of God is like a seed. If planted correctly, it will yield nourishment. And the way I learned that was from planting potatoes and the eye up. And one potato they'd cut into four or five pieces. And then you'd go back and you'd dig up and those four or five pieces. But I never forgot it when Pappy Sam, my grandfather, said, "Larry Pete, did you put the eye up?" I didn't know what he was talking about, the eye. He said, "Stick them in the ground." And then, you know, I go through that row, and then all of a sudden he says, "Is the eye up?" You ought to go back through a whole road with a grandfather farmer and digging up a spud and to see which way the eye is pointed. And it gets us to a great analogy with life. Make sure the eyes are up, not down. Make sure that in any situation in your life, learn but look to the one who can teach us properly. Luke 8:11, now the parable is this, the seed is the word of God. This is the story of the sower, of the seed. The word of God is the link to our kinship with Jesus Christ. Everything focuses around the word. Luke 8:21, but he answered and said to them, "My mother and my brother," oh, let me bring this to your attention on Luke 8:21. Back up a few verses on Luke 8, and you will find that this is when his brothers and his sister, the family was there, mother, brothers, they came, and the scripture said that they came because they thought Jesus was out of his mind. They thought he had lost it. So they came to get him, to protect him from himself. So what happens? The call goes out, your mother and your brothers are out there, and here's when he says this, "My mother and my brothers are these who hear the word of God and do it." That's the answer to, again, do you believe? And if you do believe, what are you going to do about it? And Brother Randy was bringing back again this morning. But it should be continual every day for us. Do you believe? Yes. What are you going to do about it? You mean I need to do something? I thought all I needed to do, I'm a Baptist. I got saved. I got baptized. And I love listening to a good sermon. What else is there to do? Look in the world. Look in life. Look at your family. Many of you wish that you could help a child. Help, you know, a family member. But you know good and well that within your family, you are not going, they're not going to pay a lick of attention to you. So how do I help my family if I can't get the kids to listen? If I can't get my, you know, the hurting to listen? How do I help them? You help them by taking the word of God, because a prophet is not without honor except in his own home, except in his own community. Simply saying that if you grew up as a snotty-nosed kid, Larry Pete, on Buffalo Hill, Kentucky, that family remembers Larry Pete barefooted on Buffalo Hill, and every time that I had made a mistake, it was registered, not in God's word, but in their minds. So they're not going to pay any attention to that little snotty-nosed boy. I remember you. But how will I get across to them? I will go to somebody that didn't know me. Do you have a hero? If you have a hero, it is said, don't ever meet them personally. Don't ever meet them personally. Because as soon as you meet them, you realize that your hero has flaws. Your heroes out there are not who you thought they were. So don't meet them. Keep them in. Well, the Lord says, make me your hero, and here I am. My name is Jesus. I have the word for you. I love you. Okay, the word of God, with this power and all, still God controls the power. His word is here. Now, he allows us to receive his word, but he keeps control of his word. His word, as he was said in LA, here's the word, my word. Now, I don't want you editing my word. I don't want you thinking this is a better way. Let me handle that. I want you to preach it, teach it. So therefore, I will help others by getting away from my family and reaching to the heart of someone who didn't know me as the kid. And God sees that, and God will send someone to mine. Works every time. How do I know it works? The Lord says so. And I've seen it. I've seen it time and time again. Studying the Word of God is more important than serving the needs of people. You try to convince some congregations on that one. It's called high-maintenance Christians. It's the term that pastors use a lot of times. Got a few folk that are going to be coming your way. They were unhappy in our church. And I said, oh, gosh, really? Yeah, now I wanted to let you know they're high maintenance. First time I heard that, I had no idea what they were talking about. I didn't want to marry them. The high maintenance meant that every time they stump a toe, you got to be there. At every situation that goes on within them, within their family, you got to be there. And you better say it right when you get there, too. Now, Aunt Lucy, you've got to go to her first. It's like you're going in and Aunt Lucy's going to give you a blessing to talk to all the rest of them. And then when you're sharing Christ with them, now, Larry, now wait a minute, now they don't understand the King James Version. Well, so I want you to use this one. They really like the NIV or whatever it might be. Do you realize what preachers do? It doesn't matter which version that I will teach from or, you know, whether it's the Greek or whatever. As soon as I read the scripture, then I expound on the scripture. So that's what you do with the Word of God. You take His Word and God leads you in a manner to deliver that Word where they can understand it. So therefore, it is much better for us to study the Word of God than to serve the people's needs by, you need to help us out and get some more food. And we do that in this church, and you all know it well. Right, Brother Noam? Okay, Acts 6, 2 through 4. Then the 12 summoned the multitude of the disciples and said, it is not desirable that we should leave the word of God and serve the table. This dealt with the Grecian Jews and the, Dr. Redding said the juicy Jews, but it had to do with grumbling in the church. Because this family over here got more portion of the food. Remember I told you the church represented the Social Security. First Central Church, just like the temple did. That's why if you got excommunicated from either one, you were in a deep hurt. So therefore, they kept you under control. It is not desirable that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Therefore, brethren, seek out from among you seven men of good reputation. Not popularity. It's not the most popular. Of a good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. I can picture the disciples thinking, surely the goodness can find seven that can do this. Do you know that the offices within the church one of the great requirements, whether it was deacons or whatever it was within the church, that before they could ever be ordained as such, that they must be able to preach. They were called to do exactly what the pastor would do or the preacher would do. But over the years, all of that got changed. And the most of the elections dealt with who's the most popular. Full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom. And that's wisdom of God, folks, not thinking, well, yeah, I can tell you what to do. Gosh, you got enough of that going on. Whom we may appoint over this business, take care of the stuff so that we can preach the word and study God's word. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. Now, but if you're a Christian, you go, gosh, we hear that one all the time too. I cannot believe just because you've given me $20 a week for 2 years to help me with gas, don't you realize how much it's gone up? And you need to sort of up what you're going to give me. That's when that you need to get back to the Word of God and stay away from the Marine Corps, Army, or any of the other thought process that you will have with people that will take advantage. And don't forget, when Ron Lewis, congressman, probably shouldn't have told that part. But anyway, when he was congressman and we were in Washington walking down the street, all the panhandlers, and I said, good gracious, Ron. And he said, yeah, good gracious is white. Right. Many of them will clear $40,000 a year panhandling, tax-free. I look for a bucket. And, you think of that. It would be a lot easier for us to give somebody what they ask for than it is for us to take the time to work with them so that they don't have to get the 20 a week. To work with them to help them to pull out of that ditch of life that they're in. But see, it's a lot easier just to throw it out. Why do we do it here? Because of the kids, I can tell you. All it takes is one of those kids, walk through that door. And not, oh, Larry, you need to be tougher. Nah, don't tell me that. You do the same thing. It breaks your heart. Okay, so the pastors, the preachers, to be continually in prayer and studying. Well, I've been given that opportunity here because we have the ministry team concept and the ministers teams where individuals are ministering to each other. Taking care of that, and I cannot have been more blessed than to be able to study and study and study. Now, as God gives us that word and we start applying that word, people get excited over the word. And that should be our key point. Point to the word of God, not to ourselves or to a program or anything. You point to God's word. Lead them to the word. That's the watering trough, is it not? That's the trough that we want to go to where a person can live in this desert called life and the world. The word of God grows the congregation. Programs do not grow congregations. People will come for a short period until somebody's offering something better. Remember several years ago when one of the teenagers that had left here and went to another church called a bunch of the teenagers that were here and said, you need to come to this church. They even have padded chairs. I thought, yep, that's a good reason. Padded chairs. Well, we got padded chairs now. But do you know something? Those old steel metal ones we got are stronger than any of these. It is not in the padding, it's in the metal. That's a tidbit for life. The word of God grows the congregation, Acts 6:7. Then the word of God spread. And And the number of the disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests were obedient to the faith. Preachers got saved again. Acts 13:44. On the next Sabbath, almost the whole city came together to hear the word of God. You know what I think would be great? Really neat. On a Super Bowl evening, for, you know, all the advertisement, go ahead and show the commercials. That's all most people watch it for anyway. Go ahead and show that. But then as soon as they get ready for the big game, have somebody start preaching. Do you ever hear how noisy they get? Yeah, you do. I'm thankful when I hear a baby cry in church. I really am. I'm thankful that they brought the child to church. The Word of God grows faith. You want to know how to have more faith? For one thing, start using what we got. But it is the Word that will grow it. Romans 10:17. Consequently, faith comes from hearing the message. And the message is heard through the Word of Christ. When I preach, what I preach, you all hear the voice of Christ if I stick to the Word. So the Holy Spirit is taking the message and is making certain that that message is going in to the spiritual part of that individual that needs to hear the message. And once again, how many times I've had folk, when as they would leave the service, saying, you know, this is what was going on with me. I really needed that. The next person had something completely opposite going on with them, and that word really hit me. Well, it's the Holy Spirit that does that through the power of the Word. Hebrews 11:3, by faith, we understand that the worlds, plural, were framed by the Word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things that are visible. What we see is the creation of God. And we as Christians know that because God's Word teaches us that. But we do not see visibly the hands that made them. The first generation church was blessed. They got to see the Master himself. And as he healed, as he blessed, they went in opposite directions. Either he didn't heal the way they thought he should, he didn't say it the way they wanted him to say it, and so many just quit following him. At one point, there were hundreds that turned and walked away. Oh, that was the point, remember, when Jesus said, if you do not eat of my flesh and drink of my blood, you can have no part of me. And they classified him as a cannibal. And only a person that was spiritual would be able to catch that. Oh, and that consequently comes from the hearing of the message, that is, hearing of the Word. By faith, we understand the worlds were framed. Now, the Word of God abides forever. It doesn't matter if all that you're seeing exists. The Lord says a lot of this is going to pass away. But see, we've got to keep reading. And everybody says, oh, you know, it's not going to be nothing. All I'm going to do through eternity is float around on that stupid cloud playing a harp that I don't even know how to play. And the Lord says, what I'm getting ready to give you is greater than anything you have ever witnessed, and greater than what you can imagine, think, or hear about. That's pretty good. 1 Peter 1:23, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, through the Word of God, which lives and abides forever. So therefore, what was happening. I was born again by the word that abides forever. Now, if you and I are Christians or members of the family of God, and God says, I am the word and I am in you, then he says, remember, my word abides forever. I have accepted his word. Therefore, we will abide in his word forever. Because his word does not leave. Wonder why we don't study more of his word. Wonder why we don't share more of his word. You know, there's a lot of different ways, folks, you can share God's word out there. One way was that I remembered, especially when I, all the scripture just about that I memorized in King James. And you had to remember, if you're going to share God's word, leave the these and the thous out if you're sharing to the criminally insane. So what you do, you get in prayer and say, Lord, please let your word come through me, but please lead me out of this mess that I'm getting ready to go into the way you led me in it. Many times, folks, my life has been protected because of God's word. So you share the word in the way that he gives you right then. Don't ever try to second guess. Don't ever decide to write this down. This is what I'm going to tell those inmates. That doesn't work. You go and the Lord says, at that time, I will give you the word through my Holy Spirit. That's called faith, to trust him on him. What makes the word of God so conquering, powerful? Because God's word is God. Revelation 19:11-16. I saw heaven standing open, and there before me was a white horse, whose rider is called Faithful and True. With justice he judges and makes war. Now remember, it was God who declared war in heaven against Satan. God is the declarer of the war, who judges and makes war. His eyes are like blazing fire. Set my soul afire, Lord. And on his head are many crowns. He has a name written on him that no one knows but he himself. He is dressed in a robe dipped in blood. And his name is the Word of God. The armies of heaven were following him, riding on white horses and dressed in fine linen. You imagine going off to war in white, scared to wear it to church, afraid you're going to get something on it. Going off to war in white, and it was clean. out of his mouth comes a sharp sword with which to strike down the nations. He will rule them with an iron scepter. He treads the winepress of the fury of the wrath of God Almighty. On his robe and on his thigh, he has this name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So, the sword that's going to wipe everyone out in Armageddon, and the same sword that's going to wipe everyone out at the Battle of Gog and Magog at the end of the thousand-year reign, it's the same word that you and I are studying today. And it is the same word that all human beings in history have heard. So when I know that this word of God goes back to the billions of years or whatever it was that God decided to set everything into motion. Big key to this is, folks, don't get into the argument about time. because again, you're dealing with a day as a thousand years and a thousand years as a day to God. To God, there's no such thing as time. I don't care what they say about the big, you know, the big bang. As long as you remember God makes the bang and know that he's the one who's doing it. Because God's word is God, we can conquer any situation. We question God often. People would say, well, I don't want to pray because what if God doesn't answer my prayer and somebody heard me saying that and they'll decide I'm not a Christian. So therefore, I'm not going to mention his name in public. Don't worry, Brother Larry. When I was in that mess down there at the bar the other night, nobody knew I was a Christian. Even the Lord, they didn't. Romans 8:37-39. Yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, or any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now we got that settled. Meaning, we understand that God's word settled it. It is God's word that says, I got you covered. So what are we going to do about it? If I don't have to worry about feeding my family, if I don't have to worry about these other things that you get on your mind, and I know that God's word is true, what am I going to do with it?